minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Are we on the verge of a brand new hit leader? We'll talk about that and other things with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, current front office man with the Kansas City Royals. We will talk about that with him coming up here in just a little bit. Talk things baseball, both college and on the professional level. We'll take a look at, hopefully what will be a big turnaround for the Cedar Rapids Colonels starting tonight as they are at home to take on the Burlington Bees, and that will get started out at Veterans Memorial Stadium, perfect game field, weather permitting tonight, and that will be at 6:35. Great to have you with us here on the Tuesday. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer, as we get your local programming block underway today with the Gym Class. We're on until 4 o'clock, and then it'll be Tyler Ryder and Todd Brommelkamp taking you from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. We have Twins baseball coming up tonight as the Twins, once again on the West Coast, taking on the LA Angels tonight. And we'll have it at 8:35 with the pregame 9:05 with the first pitch. A happy Twins fan you are today. Did you stay up? Did you take it all in last night?
You know, I did. When the Twins can score 9 runs in a game, I've got to see the whole thing.
Yeah, and they did that.
9-4 win over the Angels. Jarrett Weaver from the Angels did not look good. The Twins were part of that, of course. Byron Buxton with his first home run of the season. That was good to see. Just an overall good game, and you don't see many of those if you're a Twins fan these days.
Twins game, I think, got done before the White Sox game, who had their best comeback in 8 years last night, coming from 7 down and winning it on an Adam Eaton hit last night. So they got the victory of the Detroit Tigers. A lot of people were listening to, taking in game number 5. You and I had coronated a champion last night, and as the great Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend, as the Cleveland Cavaliers held off the Golden State Warriors, pulled away in the fourth quarter, and came away with the big victory last night. So that will go to Game 6. That will go back to Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, back to a Thursday night game, and we'll have that one for you as they will take a couple days off once again to get the batteries recharged. Everyone all over Draymond Green today. It's all his fault, blah, 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 blah. They'd have won it with Draymond Green. The bench did not come through. As I've said many, many times in the past, and I'm not an NBA expert, but I know enough when a team is a jump shooting team, and Golden State did not make jump shots in the fourth quarter. They did not make threes in the fourth quarter, and were not helped by Harrison Barnes, who went 2-for-14. And looked dreadful from three-point land last night.
It's a crazy game, isn't it? You would have thought that Golden State could have wrapped it up last night, even without Draymond Green. But you got to give credit to LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, each with 41 points. Phenomenal offensive efforts.
Irving was amazing.
Yeah. But Golden State didn't really have an inside presence after without Green and with the injury to the big guy inside.
With Bogut?
And, yeah, it made it things a bit easier, I think, for Cleveland. But you would expect this thing to go 7 now, would you not?
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, that opens the doors for all the conspiracy theorists out there that, oh, my gosh, you got to get the ratings to stay good, and we're going to make this thing go 7 because why not? The ratings have been terrific as far as radio and television are concerned, and we want to see LeBron James versus Steph Curry for 7 days. This thing's going to go 2.5 weeks, baby, plus almost 3 weeks of getting it, and the next one comes up on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We'll have it on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM coming your way, Game 6 on Thursday night. Mentioned, first of all, we mentioned that Cal Eldred will join us coming up here in just a little bit. Tease the show today by talking about Ichiro, who's on the verge of a landmark. Let's just say that, as far as his terrific career has been is concerned.
A couple landmarks, actually.
Yeah, a couple landmarks. Mm-hmm. And on the verge of 3,000 hits, on the verge of becoming an all-time hit leader, if you put everything together, Mark Dukes, which has gotten the gander up in some people. One of those being Pete Rose, who came out to... You hear about Pete about once, twice a year. This is the time you hear about Pete, who's saying... who's obviously not in agreement with the fact that Ichiro has been called by some the new all-time hit leader when he does surpass Pete Rose's total. Now, Ichiro, of course, played several seasons of baseball in Japan before coming over to the major leagues with the Seattle Mariners. And a lot of people are putting those two things together. And that is stirring the pot as far as controversy is concerned.
Yeah, we have a poll question today asking you, well, let's set this up first. Ichiro Suzuki is 23 hits shy of 3,000, which is kind of the, well, not kind of, it is the milestone for players to get in the Hall of Fame, one of them anyway. He is one hit behind Pete Rose's total, which is the Major League Baseball hits record, 4,256. Ichiro, now with Miami, plays at San Diego tonight with two hits. He would pass Rose. So the question today at KGYMRadio.com is, will you consider Ichiro baseball's all-time hit king? Obviously with two more hits. Yes or no?
He will pass Pete Rose, but obviously not all of those accumulated while he's been a major leaguer. He's not going to catch Pete as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. But if you put his Japanese stats together with his Major League Baseball stats together, he will surpass Pete Rose.
Love to have you weigh in. I'm going to weigh in with a no for the same reason that Sadahiro Oh is not considered the all-time home run leader. Well, maybe he is in some respects. He had 868 home runs in Japan. I don't consider him the all-time home run leader. Do you?
No. So with that being said, I have to say that I don't consider Ichiro to be the all-time hit leader.
I think the Japanese leagues are largely regarded as inferior leagues.
For the most part.
Inferior, you know, easier parks to hit in.
Getting better, though. And you've got your top flight Japanese players have made their way over to the major leagues. You're seeing that more and more. But that's been going on the last two decades or so. But it's a different brand of baseball. Different brand of baseball over there. Now, they're probably saying, well, they're looking at it in Japan that Pete Rose, he had accumulated all his hits in the major leagues. Ichiro's got Japan. He's got the United States. Put them together. Yeah, it just depends on what side of the fence you sit on.
Listen,
but I'm with you.
Tuffy Rhodes hit 55 home runs 1 year in Japan. He hit 13 in 225 major league games. Okay.
True. True.
Nothing against Suzuki. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. 10 straight seasons of 200 hits or more, and he continues to do it. I just saw his team, Miami, which I think is in the hunt for a wild card, and we'll ask Cal Eldred about that, but that's a good offensive lineup, and he adds to it. It's called a professional hitter. I hear announcers say that all the time. Professional hitter.
He is a professional hitter. He is a professional hitter. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the Guppies on the Go text line. Let us know what you think. Text in on the Guppies on the Go text line. Anytime from any network, standard text messaging rates do apply. And reminder as well, coming up tomorrow, we got Caddy Smack, a Wednesday edition coming your way. Brian Haas, Rick Swan will join us here in studio. I believe Amy Eim is going to be joining us, who is trying to make her way on the LPGA Tour, is going to go through the qualifying school at Al, try to get her tour card that way. And I think... Believe tomorrow we're also going to chat with Dr. Dave Johnson. I believe that is what Rick told me, but I will check out the details for you.
Yeah, Zach Johnson involved in his 13th U.S. Open beginning Thursday. He'll tee off at 7:35 with Jordan Spieth and Bryson DeChambeau. And we made the point earlier that the U.S. Open has not been kind to Zach.
No.
His best finish a tie for 30th. He did make the cut at Oakmont in 2007, tied for 45th. He's made the cut 7 out of 12 times, but just not any great finishes.
True. Very much true on that. We've had some rain go through the area here, and could expect some more rain coming up in the next few hours. Some of that could be severe, so keep it here at KGYM as we will keep you updated on exactly what is going on, if there is weather here. If there is weather. Hey, we're back with you here at 3:15. We are experiencing some difficulties as far as KGYM is concerned. Also, Z102.9, our crack engineering staff is working to fix that. I've been told, though, by Alex Kuhn that we are on the stream. So you can go to your app at KGYM Radio. You can download that, etc. Tyler Ryder joining us here in studio.
Yeah, whether you're joining us on KGYMRadio.com or if you're joining us through the KGYM Radio app, that's where you're going to want to catch local programming up until 7 o'clock. But if you are looking for us on either the main gym, the north or south gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 or 107.5 FM, I'm only in here relaying this to you guys during the gym class because I know you guys can't see what we're seeing outside in the hallway right now. But we just
I'm glad we're in here.
Just want to let everybody know that it is under control. So if you, for those of you who have placed phone calls to the front desk, Loretta right now wishes she had six more arms like an octopus to answer all the phone lines. So we are aware about our sister station Z102.9. We are aware about the three frequencies here locally. So, gentlemen, I didn't mean to barge in and kick the door in, but just want to let you guys know right now that the technical difficulties are trying to be handled as quickly as possible. Stay on the internet. Stay on the app, boys.
Thank you, sir.
I'm glad you did. So, with that in mind, we will probably go ahead and wait until we get back on the air with all three frequencies before we bring in Cal. Should we make an executive decision on that, Mark?
You just did.
Okay, very good. So we should probably tell Alex that we won't get Cal until we're back on the air. Not that, you know, we don't appreciate everybody tuning in on the KGYM radio app, but Alex, we will, we'll just tell you. This is the way we do things when we're on the app. We'll hold off on Cal until we get back on the air. Can you call Cal and relay that information? All right. Very good. Very good. You see, I was saying earlier on, never poke the bear, Mark Dukes, because here's what happens. We get people telling us, oh, that KGYM, it's off the air now, and Z is running along beautifully. Well, Z went off the air a little bit earlier today, and I said, hey, look, we're on the air. See, I poked the bear, and look what happens.
Well, we appreciate all the phone calls and the texts that we receive. From our listeners, that means a lot. And as Tyler said, we are working on the situation to bring it over the air as well. Hope you're on the stream and in the other apps that you can still enjoy the local programming here until 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we just got to come up with something to talk about. The NBA. Because they've covered that pretty much from nose to tail as far as ESPN Radio is concerned. You got Major League Baseball going on. Obviously, the Twins and the Angels coming your way tonight. Stanley Cup final is over, and the Penguins are the champions. We were remiss with this yesterday. We got talking about OJ, and we didn't forget about it, but we got on that OJ train so much that we forgot to mention that yesterday was a significant day in the history of Cedar Rapids. It was the anniversary mark of the flood yesterday. It was the high tide, if you will, of the flood back in, what would that be, 8 years ago now, hasn't it?
2008.
Mm-hmm. 2008. So 8 years ago, we went through all this. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, does it?
Some days yes, some days no. But we know that the city and eastern Iowa was impacted greatly by the floods that crested more than 32 feet on the Cedar River. Many businesses, residential properties damaged. And as you drive around Cedar Rapids now, it's hard to tell that that ever happened because so many folks have been so wonderful about rebuilding either their businesses or their residences, structures torn down, probably for the betterment of future floods. But it was a tough time. There's no question about that. And I hope folks never forget that time. A lot of people here and elsewhere came together. I remember people from out of town came in to help, and it was a time of that the community really came together, but it was a really rough time.
Yeah, it was, and I think it showed our best foot forward. A lot of people helping each other, no doubt about that. You had businesses helping each other, some that were, well, not to use us as an example, but I will use us as an example. We had we took another radio station under our wing here and helped them to broadcast out of our facilities here and helped out. We want to help out our fellow brethren in the radio industry. And you just had so many people displaced. You had, I mean, the images will always resonate as far as that is concerned, and people won't forget about it. And we use it to try to help out as far as future problems are concerned. That's a part of the whole flood protection plan that has gone on as far as Cedar Rapids is concerned.
Sports impacted greatly as well. I remember the Cedar Rapids Ball Club did wonders for either sheltering or feeding or housing people at the time, helping the community get through this situation. I mean, the water was on the doorsteps of the stadium. Had it come across the tracks down there on Rockford Road, I doubt it would have got up as high as the stadium, certainly, no. But it wasn't that far, and that's hard to believe.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was down to the base where 380 southbound goes up the hill, that slight incline to Wilson Avenue, and that's about where the water got to.
Mm-hmm.
At about that point right there. And then luckily, it started to go back after that. But we will not forget exactly what happened in 2008. And certainly, people still impacted mm-hmm. to this very day. Construction still going on as we try to get things back and to semi-normal and semi-normalcy.
You know what? Not that the town was divided by any means, but you live on the northeast side. And you were far away from the flood, mm-hmm. were you not? Did you get a sense that, I don't want to say that the north side of town was disconnected, but those of us on the west side, and especially those who live close to downtown, it was a dreadful situation. But if you're on the north side 8 years ago, you didn't see it.
Yeah, but you were impacted. I mean, you knew everybody that was impacted by it. There was one way to get across the river, and that was I-380, and it was just bumper to bumper mm-hmm. at that point. So there we go. I think we're back. Hey, we welcome everyone back at 3:23 here on the Tuesday edition.
25:23 on the text line. Dukes, plug the station back in. You're welcome.
Did you plug it back in? You must have.
If I knew how to do that, I would have done it 25 minutes ago.
All right. We are back. We apologize for that. We had, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but our crack engineering staff taking care of it and got us back on the air. We appreciate that. And we move on here at 23 past the hour of 3 o'clock. You haven't missed anything. We've been talking on the air because we've been going through on the KGYM radio app. There's a good reason to get your KGYM radio
Indeed.
App right
yeah.
there. Go to the Google Play Store, download that, Android, whatever the case may be. You know how to get there. If you're under the age of 30, you know how to get there. or ask your sons, daughters, or grandkids how to get there. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. Why don't we go? We'll take a break and we'll collect ourselves. We'll call Cal. We'll talk some baseball.
Sounds good.
How's that? We have a poll question for you, KGYMRadio.com. We encourage you to go out there and vote. It has to do with baseball.
It is. Will you consider Ichiro baseball's all-time hit king? Yes or no? He stands one hit behind Pete Rose right now. Thanks, T-Mobile's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
All right. When during that part, we've been talking about the remembrances of the flood of 8 years ago. That had the high tide yesterday. All right, we will take a break and come back, and we'll get caught up with Cal Eldred here at 325. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on 1600 AM, 107.5 the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM the South Gym in Iowa City.
What's your most worn accessory this summer? Definitely your sunglasses. So come to the Maui Gym Trunk Show today at McDonald Optical in downtown Iowa City. This is your chance to see the entire line of Maui Gym, which means you get to find exactly the right pair to fit your face and your style. They're also offering Aloha gifts. Come to the Maui Gym Trunk Show at McDonald Optical's downtown location today from 11 to 3. McDonald Optical, 60 years of no gimmicks and great value to help you see your world more clearly.
You know, my dad always told me, be proud of where you're from. So when it was time to start my business, I looked no further than right here in the town where I grew up.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com helps local businesses by helping them find their next great employee.
I mean, the people who live here, they're my neighbors. I know them. I trust them.
At Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com, it's easier than ever to post your job and start getting applicants instantly.
You know, without my hometown, my business just wouldn't be the same. And I think it works both ways.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
326, back with you here in the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM, as we are back with you here on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM. We've got Twins baseball tonight at 8:30 on the North Gym. They take on the LA Angels coming up this evening. Full slate of baseball. We'll talk some baseball coming up with Cal here in just a couple of minutes. With the rain that went through earlier on, Mark, a lot of baseball and softball.
Yes.
Reading on the social network has been postponed. A lot of it pushed back one day, but please check out. I think the only thing I see going on right now is Regina softball is playing against Des Moines Hoover, I believe, right now. I know Wash Kennedy has been postponed. Jefferson Des Moines East baseball for tonight has been postponed. Jefferson softball tonight against Wallard has been postponed. So, before you leave the house, be sure to check it out if you have plans to go out to these things.
Yeah, that's a good recommendation, and we'll bring you any news that we can possibly bring you. But, yeah, the storms, pretty significant rain around here, and I know in Iowa City as well.
I'm going to try to get caught up with Cal coming up in a moment. See what happens when you lose a signal like that. You call Cal, you tell him, hey, take the day off, maybe stand by, and now we can't get hold of him again.
Cyclone Tim on the text line, I take it in this heat, the squirrel that runs in the wheel to generate the electricity for the KGYM conglomerate finally gave up.
We're a conglomerate? Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. I have no idea, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happened out there. I just know we're back.
Doesn't matter. We're back, and that's a good thing.
That's right. This happens about once a year.
So, if that.
If that. It's been a long time, to be honest with you, since it happened. But anyway, while we wait for Cal, last night, listening to the NBA Finals, game number 5, also was tuned in to a lot of the programming from Oakmont. As far as the U.S. Open is concerned, learned a lot of history, learned about the famous game that they play at Oakmont Country Club. Are you aware of SWAT?
I had not heard that, no.
Which is a game where they take teams, divide them up into 4-player teams, A player through D player.
You're talking members.
Right.
Okay.
This is a members game that's been played for over 100 years, and they have all of the records going back. They have a record keeper each and every year who handwrites everything into a journal, and they have them all in the SWAT room there at the Oakmont Country Club outside of Pittsburgh. And that practice still goes on today. Apparently, it's a It's a game within a game. Your four-man team is playing against the other four-man teams, but you're playing against the other four guys in your group, interestingly enough. You get where I'm going with this? They play best ball, best score for your group, but then you're also playing to beat the other three guys in your group, mm-hmm. Which is a neat way to play. Neat way to play, but... oh, yeah. And they change things up a little bit. They'll play from the tips sometimes. They'll play from the forward tees sometimes. They'll do different things, but it's a game that they... I don't know if it's a weekly game or once a month, twice a month, whatever the case may be, but it goes back over 100 years. I thought that was quite interesting last night, listening to that.
Well, the members got to be... they're got to be masochistic, don't they? I mean, what a brutal golf course. And that, from what I've heard, that's the way they want it. They want it difficult, and they take pride in the fact that it is difficult, and it turns single-digit handicappers into 18 to 20 handicappers real quickly. And I'm very interested to find out later this week, beginning Thursday, how this thing is all going to unwind and play out, because we've heard how the greens are very tough, the rough is penal, and... you know, whether some people, as you mentioned earlier this week, plus 10 might win it. I say I'd take plus 5. I saw Zach Johnson today on Twitter. He'd take plus 2 to plus 5 and take his chances.
I would take, what did I say yesterday? 3 or 4? I can't remember. I would take plus 3 or 4 and not swing a club right now. I would take that. Interesting, they also talked with the two superintendents that they have. And just to go through what it takes to put on a golf championship like that, guess what time that they are at the golf course?
Probably 3 or 4 in the morning.
3:30. 3:30 in the morning, getting the golf course ready each and every day this week for the professionals, because it has to be ready by the time the sun comes up so that they're out there and able to practice whatever the case may be.
3:31 as we sit right now. That's the only 3:31 that I recognize, so kudos to them.
They've been working 12 hours already at Oakmont, ladies and gentlemen. They also had a little bit of a program about Johnny Miller and his 63. Johnny has donated the golf clubs, the shoes, and some of the accessories that he had that day of the 63 to the United States Golf Association. They are on display right now at Oakmont. Green golf bag with red, white, and black shoes. Johnny was not a fashion plate back then, was he?
Nobody was a heck of a golfer, and started out, I think, with 4 straight birdies to open it up, and then finished with that 63 to end up winning the thing. And I still think to this day, one of the most phenomenal final rounds in history.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Maybe the best final round as far as major championship golf is concerned. Came from way back and took that 1973 United States Open Golf Championship. So, I don't know. I don't see any 63s coming up this week at Oakmont. But
Not for 18.
No, 15 maybe. I'm going to get to 63, and I'm just going to keep going. That's what we like to say out there. 3:33, trying to get hooked up with Cal Eldred. And if we don't get hooked up with Cal, we're hoping, we're keeping our fingers crossed here. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants today, aren't we? With what happened earlier on, and now we gave Cal the indication, well, we might not be able to get in touch with you, but... we'll see.
Yeah, we apologize for technical difficulties earlier beyond our control, but our engineering staff just did a great job getting us back on the air. I understand we were on live streaming and on the app, so that's good as well. Again, no better reason than today to go out and get the app.
Yep, go out and download it and enjoy it out there. You can take it anywhere you want. Best way to do that. We'll take a break, come back, and when we do, we hope to get caught up with Cal Eldred. So stay tuned. More to come. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on KGYM.
Buffalo Wild Wings presents B-dubbing.
If you're just tuning in, we've got
Wing Tuesdays.
Here's the corner kick. Star striker Rodriguez takes on
special prices on traditional wings.
Now this is a
seriously good deal.
He dribbles past 3 defenders. He sees an opening and strikes!
It's a goal!
Get a great price. Every Wing Tuesday. 21 sauces and seasonings. At Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Prices and participation vary.
GoDaddy presents Crazy Ideas That Worked. Meet Fred, who carves heads out of cheese.
Yeah, I was finishing a masterpiece of Shaquille O'Neal in Swiss. I hit a hole. Shaquille's face blew off. Everybody called me crazy. I got my domain headsofcheese.com from GoDaddy, and now they're selling like hotcakes. Made of cheese.
Got a crazy idea you think you can turn into success? We know you can, and we've got a domain for you. And now get a domain free with a website starting from $1 a month. Go you, GoDaddy. See website for details, not an actual customer.
Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef, starting at just $1.99. Get a grilled dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price and participation vary.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to GEICO.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder GEICO has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
Back at 3:36 here on the Tuesday edition of the gym class, KGYM, trying to get caught up with the former major leaguer Cal Eldred as we talk with Cal on Tuesdays. A reminder that KGYM is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. So please submit your information 30 days prior to the event. If selected, your event will be featured on our Community MVP page on our website at KGYMradio.com, where we have the poll question that is up right now. Mark, talking about baseball.
We do. The question is, will you consider Ichiro baseball's all-time hit king? Yes or no? He needs 2 hits to pass Pete Rose's total of 4,256, but 1,200 of those, or thereabouts, almost 1,300 of those hits were accumulated in Japan before Ichiro got to the major leagues. 2,977 right now in Major League Baseball.
There you go. Go ahead and register your vote at KGYMradio.com, and we'll go over those here in just a little bit. Mentioned the rain going through here as of late, kind of has played havoc as far as the schedule for baseball and softball. And again, check things out. Colonels are still on as of right now. And boy, oh boy, things have not gone well for Joe Mauer and the Jake Mauer and the Colonels here as of late.
No, dropped a series to Peoria in last night's game to Burlington, and the Colonels now sit in third place in the division. Need to be in the top two to make the playoffs. Still doable. Peoria and Clinton face off against one another, and the Colonels have to hope that maybe to slide into that second spot and have Peoria beat Clinton a couple games here, and the Cedar Rapids Colonels get back on the winning track. So not entirely out of it, but doesn't look as good as it did a week ago.
Man. We've got Cal, and we got him ready to go right here on KGYM. We deliver on our promises right here on the Big 16 and the 107.5 and the 106.3 FM. Cal joins us on Tuesdays and joins us here at 3:38 on a sunny Tuesday after the rain pushed through. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing fantastic. Are you here in good old Eastern Iowa, or are you elsewhere?
I am actually in very hot Surprise, Arizona at the moment.
Aha. But it's a dry heat, Cal.
It is a dry heat. So if you've ever stuck your head in the oven and check the cookies out to see if they're done, you know what it's like.
Hey, Cal, we're going to ask you our poll question, if that's okay. It goes like this. Will you consider Ichiro baseball's all-time hit king? He needs a couple more to pass Pete Rose's total.
I think you call I guess my answer to that would be no. I think that it's Major League Baseball. That's the record. I'm really not counting wins that pitchers have when they come over. When the players come over to play here, they're eligible for Rookie of the Year. And so if we're going to stay consistent with that, then I don't think you add those hits as the all-time hits leader.
Hmm. I would agree with that, and I think most people early on are agreeing as far as that is concerned. Pete Rose came out, was very much against the fact that some people have said Ichiro is going to pass him here.
Yeah, I know Pete has put his two cents in to get everybody to probably go the way we're leaning. But I'm taking that out of the equation. I just think that with the consistency of the other awards that are handed out, I'm that's where I'm going.
Did you have an opportunity to face Ichiro?
I did.
How'd that go?
Well, mm-hmm. You know, I could not even tell you what the numbers are, but he's an interesting guy to face because it's kind of you have to look at him and pitch against him and then decide really how he's going to attack you. If he feels like you're going to pitch him away or he feels like he's not going to be able to truly drive the ball off of you, then he is fine with leaning out and hitting the ball to the left field. If you're someone who will pound him in and try to pitch him in all the time, then he's going to stay in there at times and maybe step more forward and try to drive the ball to right field. He's a guy I think that could have probably hit a lot more home runs if part of his style wasn't to settle for the base hit to left field. But that's why he has so many hits. He's very versatile in the batter's box. Plus, he has a lot of speed. So if there's times when, and he's not as fast, obviously, as he used to be, but being able to put the ball in play for him is also an advantage because of his speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cal, last night, big series got underway between the Cubs and the Nationals. Washington behind Max Scherzer gets the win in game one. And boy, oh boy, the Nationals kind of snuck up. They're 16 games over 500 right now. San Francisco not too far back of them. They're 13 games over 500. And the team that's hot right now are the St. Louis Cardinals. As they've gone by Pittsburgh, who's the team that's not hot right now, as the Cardinals, I think, swept the Pirates over the weekend.
Yeah, you look at what St. Louis was able to do in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh losing Gerrit Cole, that does not help their cause at all. Pittsburgh was playing really well about a week and a half ago, and then things kind of turned. And obviously playing the St. Louis Cardinals and as good as they played Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and actually have been playing before that. So you've got to give St. Louis a lot of credit. They've just been kind of treading water, slowly starting to pick up speed, and they caught Pittsburgh at the right time, and especially in Pittsburgh. But the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs, this is something everybody wants to see. And I think the Nationals are trying to send a message to the Cubs that this league, this National League, is not just going to be handed to them, that they're going to have to earn it.
Cal, last Tuesday, and this is going to be somewhat of a touchy subject because you're employed by the Kansas City Royals, but last Tuesday, Yordano Ventura of the Royals plunked Manny Machado with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. And as you know, Ventura's got priors. Machado might have showed him up a little bit in the prior at bat by staring down a ball that did not quite go out.
He did. Unwritten rules.
What's the deal with Ventura in this situation?
Well, I'll tell you what. Because I am old school, I'm just going to flat out admit that. And I think I probably don't even need to admit it. Everybody that listens to this segment probably understands that. You guys do too. But I actually, if I would have been Baltimore, a player on the Baltimore team and a player on the Royals team, I would not have left the dugout. I would have let those two beat the living tar out of me.
Cage match.
They're both deserving. I mean, they have both broken rules. And I know, you're supposed to protect. You're actually supposed to protect your pitchers. And I actually got an opportunity. I did have a conversation with Mike Matheny this week, and I know he's part of the rival Royal Cardinals now that I'm a Royal. But I did ask Mike this question. I said, would you have stopped Machado? And he said, Cal, you know the answer to that. Sure, I would have. And he said, I wouldn't have wanted to, but I would have done it. So, you know, it's just one of those things where both of these guys have made mistakes. And really, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have left the dugout if I was on either side, even though Machado probably had a better reason to want to go to the mound, because once they did chirp back and forth, he had no option but to go out there once Ventura hit him. And he didn't hit him with an 89-mile-an-hour fastball. He hit him with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I don't want you to say yes or no, and I know you can't say yes or no as far as this is concerned, but it's been written, it's been talked about, that the Royals may be looking to deal Ventura now, that they may be just kind of sick of this act a little bit. You know, if it was a different pitcher on a different team, is it time to maybe just trade him, cut ties, and just kind of start over for everybody's sake?
Well, I think if you're on a team, if Ventura had had even more priors, if he hasn't actually helped your organization like he has down the stretch last year and the year before and in the past, then this may be something that any organization, let alone the Royals, would be thinking about doing, would be trading him. You know, I'd look at a couple players. I look at Carlos Martinez with the St. Louis Cardinals. Carlos has been a guy that, you know, they've gone through a little bit of this also. And there's been players like this. Pedro Martinez even had a little bit of this in his career. But if you can get those guys to understand and to start to really not only not break those unwritten rules, but also to really use their ability in the right way, they could mean so much to a franchise. And you can see Carlos Martinez starting to figure that out a little bit. I think Ventura figures it out. When he does, he has games just like he had against Cleveland the other night. So there's a whole lot of upside, guys. And anymore, it's a lot of work. I know this organization would like to try to help Ventura figure this out.
Watching the Twins recently, Cal, I got to see that Boston lineup up close and personal, and the Red Sox just tortured the Twins first couple games. Twins fortunate to get the last one, but when you have Bogarts had like 10 hits in three games. You got a bulldog like Pedroia. You got Ortiz on his way out, can barely get to first base. But he damn near leads every category.
You're two singles in off baseball. The wall.
This is a heck of a lineup, Cal.
It truly is. And, you know, I got to see that lineup when the Royals were playing them. I've paid attention to what they're doing. Man, if you could fire their pitching staff into being, you know, top four or five in the league, they would have a record like the Cubs.
Mm.
I mean, so it's you know, having Kimbrel at the end of the game really, really helps him overall as a team. But they've had some pitching issues. Joe Kelly's been hurt. He's been good off and on. Their starting pitching just hasn't been as consistent as it needs to be. But they are a heck of a lineup. There's so much balance. And yeah, it's funny because as the deeper we go, Mark, in this season, the more guys that I'm around that are saying, Ortiz isn't going to retire. My goodness, how can you retire with putting up those numbers? But he's been in baseball a long time, and I believe that he is going to retire. There's no question. But there is something to be said, and knowing playing a long time and knowing that you're going to retire, at times I think really relaxes you. And I think he is as relaxed as he's probably ever been playing the game of baseball, and he's just thoroughly enjoying every moment. And he's at a place to where most or all big league players and minor league players would like to get to, feeling like they really have nothing to lose. And when you have that ability and the experience he has, this is what you get.
Cal Elder joining us here at 3:49, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Cal, I got to ask you about James Shields and what in the world the White Sox are going to do to him. you trade for him. You can't cut ties after a couple of starts like that, but it's been abysmal. They helped him out last night with the biggest comeback in 8 years, but you can't just throw – I don't know. What do the White Sox do or any team in this situation that makes a trade for a guy and then he just is not getting the job done?
Well, and, you know, you can put it a little bit. It wasn't as extreme, but I know Johnny Cueto struggled when Kansas City, you know, when we traded for Cueto last year.
Yep.
And there was some, like, man, and I think that was probably the main reason why, part of the reason why the Royals didn't sign Cueto back, also the amount of money he was asking for. But James Shields is not Johnny Cueto. James Shields is longer in the tooth, guys, and I think that's part of the issue here. When they traded for him, I thought, it was one of the questions I had. Is he really the right guy? Is he the guy that can really help him get over the hump? And I kind of thought this was maybe just a preliminary trade, that there was somebody else that they were going to go after. But if they're going to lean on, Shields and Latos, really aren't much different. So you're hoping that his experience helps you, but really I think his last year or 2 years here with the Royals was probably not the peak, but he was on his way down. I'm talking James Shields, on his way down in his ability and where he can actually give a team.
Tell me why, Cal, I should not keep my eye on the Miami Marlins for at least a wild card spot in the National League. They have three of the top 10 hitters in the National League. They got one of the best number one pitchers in baseball. Where are their weaknesses?
I think the weaknesses are in their 3, 4, and 5 spots in their rotation.
Okay.
I also think that you've got to have gap guys that can get you to the end of the game. And so their bullpen, and whether their bullpen has enough experience. Other than that, I think you're right, Mark. They're an excellent ball club in a lot of ways. But Fernandez needs help at the top of that rotation. And I think those are – not that they don't have good arms. Because their rotation has good arms. It's a lot like Philly's rotation. They have good arms, but they're young, they're inexperienced. They're guys that you just don't see carrying it out through the whole season. And to me, that's the weakness of the Marlins. But they're going to wreak some havoc yet in the National League and especially in the East because the Mets, they want to gain separation. The Nationals want to gain separation from anybody else in that division and make it a two-team race there. But I don't think the Marlins are going away.
Couple questions about the Major League Draft, Cal. And A.J. Puck joined you and Jeff Clement as Iowa high school products drafted in the first round in the sixth slot.
And the City High young man.
Well, he was 33rd.
It was a supplemental pick, but yeah. It was still first round.
Yeah, that's true. But I ask you about A.J. Puck. I saw him throw against Florida State last night with kind of mixed results. Ask you about A.J. Puck and then the three Iowans that were taken and what do you think their futures are?
Well, I know with A.J., he has the stuff. I mean, he doesn't get taken sixth overall unless he really has the stuff. The question I think some people are asking themselves, is he a reliever instead of a starter? I know that was Tyler J. The Twins took him last year out of Illinois really high, and he was seen as a reliever. But I think AJ, there's so much hype down there in Florida. He wasn't the only college pitcher or pitcher picked from their Florida staff, and I'm telling you, he just needs to go pitch. And I think 6 walks for him in his last outing is unusual for him. I think a lot of this is get the hype over with, the pressure over with, and just go play. AJ is a very talented kid, and I think he's got a lot of work ahead for him, but he's got a heck of an advantage with his arm and also being a first-round pick being that high. The A's are going to give him every opportunity to be successful.
And how about the three Hawkeyes that were taken?
Well, I know Rossetti, I'm not sure. You know, he's a guy. You know what? he has a really good arm, guys. And I think that as much as they drafted him as an infielder, I think that they're going to take a look at him as a pitcher, too, if that's not going to work out. I think he's more of a third baseman than he is a shortstop. That's just my opinion. But I think they know that he's got a heck of an arm, and that there's a possibility that they could utilize him there. Tyler Payton going with the Cubs. You know what? I liked him. I thought Tyler would get drafted sooner. He's gonna have an opportunity. Honestly, what Tyler needs is some rest, because pitching and being injured early in the season and then fighting through it and then playing first base, that wears a kid out. What people I don't think understand how much he gave to that Hawkeye program the 4 years that he was there, and especially this last year. But I thought he would go earlier, and I think he's going to have a rejuvenation and really have an opportunity to really do well. And then obviously the center fielder going to the White Sox, he's a tools guy. He's fast. He knows how to steal bases. And, you know, I think that that's can he hit is going to be the question.
I think he could be a sleeper maybe, but that remains to be seen.
He really could. There's no question.
Yeah. Before we get to the top five, Colonels are going through a tough time right now. Bad time to do it, the week before the end of the first half. But I know the Twins, and they want to see these guys go through this. And I listened to Brad Stile on Sunday before the Twins game on the Twins radio network, and he said, this is what we want our guys to do, for good or for bad. We want them to go through these situations so that they're ready for it later in their careers.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's funny because actually the meeting I just walked out of, guys, is is a meeting about that very thing. You know, do you go ahead and move guys, or do you keep a group together? What guys need to take off? What guys and have another challenge at the next level? And what teams are trying to decide? And the Twins are no different. They're trying to decide, do we give some of these players a taste of that next level for the during the second half, so that they can then go there and start the year at that level, say from low A to high A, or from high A to double A. We just got done talking about a few guys. Maybe they need to go from double A to triple A before at the All-Star break, so that next year when they start in triple A, they're really ready to compete for a job, maybe even in the big league. So there's a lot of dynamics that go into this. And sometimes, guys, it's the unfortunate thing that kids need to go backwards and move down a level, get a little, and have success in the second half, so that they can actually come back to the level where they struggled this year.
All right, Cal, let's get to your mid-June version of the top five.
Well, this was I know I've had top fives in the past that have been dominated by one league, and that's what we're going to see this year, this Tuesday. And I threw the St. Louis Cardinals in there, guys. I think it's the first time they've been in there all year. But the way they've been playing Pittsburgh on the road, getting guys healthy, I see Pittsburgh losing Garrett Cole. You know, I think that adds to St. Louis, and Matt Adams has been hitting well, and obviously Matt Carpenter is just hot. So, and Wainwright has kind of righted his ship also. So I see them at number five. I see the Giants. The Giants, even though Hunter Pence has been hurt, they've still been doing better than just treading water, winning three in a row. So they're my number 14. And then it goes, the Washington Nationals jump into the top five. They weren't in last week, but, guys, you got to respect the fact that they only have three fewer wins than the Chicago Cubs. You've got to – I've probably been underestimating the type of club that they are for a while now. But then my top two are the Texas Rangers, who just keep on winning. Not much said about them, but they keep winning in the American League. And then the Chicago Cubs are still at the top of the list, guys.
All right. Cal, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, man.
All right. Enjoy the baseball this week.
All right, will do. Cal Elder joining us on Tuesdays. Mark, Jim, APC coming your way next. We'll talk golf coming up tomorrow.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
All right. APC coming up next. You've been listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Napa Know-How!
Goop. Gunk. Sludge. Whatever you want to call it. It's the stuff that makes your engine.